to stand to receive our speaker today, the evangelist Stephanie Marie Seeley Iverson. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, O God, for the service.
Yes, Lord.
Father God, we thank you, O God, for every song that was sung, O God.
Yes, Lord.
Father God, as we come to one of the most sacred times of the service, O God. Oh God, I ask right now, O God, that you would use me, O God.
Yes.
Father God, as I stand here right now, O God, I ask, O God, that you, O God, would speak through me, O God.
Yes.
Father God, all of you and none of me.
Yes.
Lord, as I speak, I ask, Father God, that they hear your voice, oh God.
Yes.
Lord, as I stand here and they look, oh God, let them not see me, but Father God, let them see you, oh God. Oh God, touch the hearts of the people, oh God. Touch their ears, oh God, that they will hear your voice as you speak, oh God. Oh God, touch their minds, oh God, that they will understand, oh God, what is being said to them, oh God. Oh God, pray right now for your anointing, oh God. Oh God, I pray right now that you would remove every distraction, oh God, that would keep us from hearing from you, oh God. Move by your power in Jesus' mighty name. Amen, amen,
amen.
Amen. I give honor to God, to Bishop Moore, to my pastor, to all the pastors, preachers. I am going to do, I come from good stock.
Amen.
I'm going to do what I do, then I'm going to sit down. So you don't have to worry about me. Amen. We're going to ask, amen, that you turn your Bibles to the Old Testament, to Psalm. We're going to be coming from the book of Psalms, Psalm 116, one verse. As my pastor said this morning in her sermon, it only takes one verse.
Just one.
Get a word out of just one verse. Psalm 116 and 12. Amen. And it reads as follows. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits towards me? And what I like to use for a subject is going to come from the scripture. It's going to come from the first part of the scripture. And it's just a question. What shall I render? What shall I render? You may have your seat. Amen. Amen. Our text today is coming from the fourth of six psalms that are known as the Hollow Psalms. These Hollow Psalms, they consist of Psalms 113 through 118. And these psalms, the Hollow simply means praise or praise Yahweh. These psalms, they're not attributed to any particular author. No one's name, specific name is behind these psalms.
Right.
But these psalms, they mark the exodus of the children of Israel out of Egypt and how God's grace delivered his people.
Right.
But when we look at our scripture today, this particular psalm and this particular author, he's writing about one man's trouble, not an entire country. So the first thing that I want you to take note about this text is that it's a personal statement.
Come on.
It's a personal statement. He doesn't give direction as to what a corporate body of believers should do.
Right.
He doesn't say anything about what the church should do. Because it's personal. And because it's personal, it requires self-examination reflection. The second thing that I would like for you to notice is that in this particular psalm, the selflessness of this particular author. The author of the psalm is not thinking about what he can get. Nowhere in this psalm did you hear him talk about, well, let me see what else I can get from God. What more can I get out of God? Nowhere in this psalm do you see that. He didn't say, what shall be given unto me? He didn't say, how can I get another car? He didn't say, how can I get a bigger house? the Lord. Yes. It's just a special kind of person to say, what shall I render? Instead of saying, what can I get? Everybody likes to get things. Yes. I don't know anybody that don't want to get nothing. Yes. We all like to get something. Yes. But it's just a really special person.
Yes. Uh-huh.
To say, you know what? I don't need no one to give me anything. I'm going to get. What can I render? A special person is a person that marks maturity. When we reach a level of spiritual maturity, you no longer focus on, your soul focus is not just about what God can do for you. When you reach a certain level of maturity, you come to a place where you acknowledge and you recognize, you know what? No. Lord, you've been so good and so kind to me. What can I do for you? Oh, that you have done for me. I'm not going to be asking you to do anything for me. For once, I'm going to come to you and say, what shall I render? Of this song is mature because he's not asking God for anything. He's simply asking, what shall I render? If I was to ask a question, what is an abbreviated, short definition of maturity? The first thing that came to my mind was that most people would say, oh, well, after age and not your shoe size. I said a short, abbreviated definition. That's short, abbreviated,
and
it's a definition. You see, we put maturity, we put expectation on maturity based on numbers, ages. Okay. We have a certain expectation for maturity. We don't expect a 50-year-old man to act like a 5-year-old when he don't get his way. That's what we expect. Just like, I'm not going to be partial to the men. Ladies, we don't expect women who are women, because you know we so big and I'm a woman. We don't expect women to act like a 2-year-old baby when we don't get our the thing about maturity is everyone doesn't reach the level of maturity at the same time. We all don't reach that same level at the same time. Neither do we mature at the same time. Maturity is an individual function of life. So I went a little bit further because I want to look at this maturity thing. And so as a noun, okay, and I looked at maturity and growth. Because in the church we hear about maturity and growth. So when I looked this up and I wanted to know, okay, well, what's the difference? Growth versus maturity. As nouns, the difference between growth and maturity is growth is an increase in size, number, value, or strength. Maturity is the state of being ready, having completed development. That is what maturity is. Maturity is a choice. Many cultures that have ceremonies, parties, debutantes, whatever you want to call them, or introducing their child at what they consider, oh, he's no longer a boy, he's a young man. She's no longer a girl, she's a young lady. And they spend all this money, and we get all caught up in the ceremony, and we get all caught up in the hoopla. And yet still, we have no idea whether or not that child is mature or not. We have no idea of what's coming up next in their life. But yet still, we go through all of this. Now, if you were to bring this into the spiritual part, let's talk spiritual now. Spiritual maturity is not a service and is not acts that impress man. We spend so much time trying to impress one another instead of worrying about impressing God. God should be the first and foremost about it.
Yeah.
If it had not been for God, sometimes we walk into things.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Well,
everything don't fall on us. We walk into things. And so, and this, the psalmist is talking about, he says here, he says that he found sorrow, but yet still in the midst of all of these things, God heard him because he cried out to God. God heard him. And he delivered him. How many times have you found yourself in situations and God delivered you? How many times have you found yourself up against the wall, didn't know what you were going to do? And God, if he didn't deliver you out of it, he gave you the strength to make it through whatever it was that you were going through. And you didn't lose your mind. Sister AJ said in the song this morning, I never lost my praise despite everything that was going on. How many of us can sit here and say, you know what? I never lost my praise. He became overjoyed when he began to reflect. He swelled up with so much joy. I could just only imagine. Because when I read that song and looked at everything he said, and then I started to look at my life. And I became so overwhelmed with joy just to know what God had done for me. And he got so overwhelmed with joy, all he could do was say, what shall I render? And I thought about it and I said, you know what? I don't get it. And I mean, I'm looking at myself. I'm looking at myself as like, okay, all these things that God has done for us. And yet and still, when we come in church, we can't come in church ready to praise God. We got to be pumped up, fired up, and praise the Lord to God. Stand and sing forever just to get you happy. And it should take off. And we should be walking through the door. I was glad when they said, I'm going to sing the Lord. But we don't walk in here. And we was glad when they said, let us go into the door.
Come on.
Yes. We walk in here and,
oh,
I'm here.
Yeah.
Right. Be glad I'm here.
I see it
happen.
Yeah. And I was at once upon a time guilty of this, but maturity, spiritual maturity, we can't even get to church on time.
Right.
But we want God to bless us. We want God to do all these things for us. It's all about God, what you gonna render to me instead of what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits? All his benefits.
All
the word render, listen to me carefully now. It means to make, to do, to exhibit. Listen to this one. To present.
No, you didn't. That's
the one. Now I want you to put that one. Hold on to that one for me. Put it in your back pocket, as we say. Put it in your back pocket. We're gonna come back to that one.
All right, all right.
To present.
Uh-huh.
To pay.
Uh-huh.
So I say to you, what shall I render?
Uh-huh.
Ritualistic worship?
Uh-huh.
No, that's not good enough.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's not good enough. Everybody wants to go into the presence of the Lord.
Right.
Everybody wants to feel the Shekinah glory.
Yeah.
But we need to understand something. God requires service.
Yes.
Romans 12 and 1.
No,
he don't.
We're going to talk about what shall I render? We seem to think that coming to church on Sunday, some of us Sunday school, morning service, afternoon service, evening service, we may do Bible study, and we think we did our job. Well, let me tell you. Romans 12, 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you, get that word out of your back pocket. Get that word out of your back pocket. Present your body a living sacrifice. Oh, wait a minute. They don't stop there.
Come on.
He says,
you better watch it.
Side note.
Come on.
Holiness is still right.
All the way of life.
If it ain't here, holiness is still right. going to go on a fast. Fast! Fast! That's too hard for us tonight! I literally sacrificed. The pastor calls and says, you know what? We're going to have an extra prayer meeting service. Huh? I got plans that day. I can't make it.
We got plans.
We're talking about sacrifice.
Yeah.
Maturity, and you realize all the things that God has done.
Yes, yes.
No one knows but you what God has done in your life. And that's why at the beginning of the sermon I said it's personal. It requires a reflection, a self-examination of yourself. And when you think about all of what God has done for you, all that He brought you out of, and stop focusing on, because you're not where you think you should be. You need to be focused on and realize and know that God knows best. He has a plan for your life. He will never set you up to fail. And just in the fact that you're here, you have something to praise God for. And when you think about that, you should be willing. Lord, what shall I render? And let me let you know something, okay? Because when we talk about render, we think only think about coming to church.
Yes.
Well, let me let you know something. Worship is more than just coming to church.
Amen.
Worship, obedience.
Yes.
Worship, sacrifice.
Yes.
Worship, surrender, submission.
Oh, yeah.
That's worship.
Oh,
it's not just
long.
Coming to church.
Yes.
Worship should be 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Whether you're in the church, at home, in your car, on the job, in the store, somebody cut you off, red line, they take it too long, you didn't get your check, they made you mad on the job, you are still supposed to. Me. When I think about all that God has done for me,
hallelujah,
all that God has brought me out of, and when my pastor stood here and said, don't stop praying for your children. Don't stop praying for your children. Because I am a witness. As far out as I went, and I went far.
Come on now.
I went far. I was in an abusive marriage. My first marriage was abusive. I didn't know how to get out. I prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. Thank God for my sister and her husband. Come and rescue me. But do you think that was enough for me? Nah. As soon as God got me out of that, I was doing my own thing. Sound familiar? As soon as God got me out of that, it wasn't, oh Lord, I praise you, Lord, I worship you, what shall I render? No, it wasn't none of that. It was, okay, I'm on my own, doing my own thing.
I
went back out there and started doing my thing. And I'm here to tell you, God delivered me from alcohol, because I'm alcoholic. God delivered me from that. Come right now
say, what shall
and
I
say to you, yeah. What shall